Hello and welcome to the Impact Dynamics podcast.
I'm Andy Little.
I'm Plushy.
My name is Rusty.
Tonight we're talking about all things past, present and future.
That sounds good, and Andy is completely distracted trying to work out how to open a can. Let's go.
Match director, mate. Match director.
Hello, Andy.
Hooray!
Hooray! Hope that's enough.
We need your vote.
Now we've caught up to where we're on the podcast.
All right, go on back.
Roll the outro. Andy, you were so stumped by a pouring can.
This is first time.
You were going to get tool to open a normal pop top can.
Yeah.
Which is now half on my leg.
Well, you shook it up before you opened it, didn't you?
You got it.
You were making such a mess of it.
No, you made the mess, mate.
Speaking of a mess, it's podcast time, Jen.
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah. All right. How are we all?
No, I'm doing really well, thanks, Andy. Yeah.
Was that, I thought it was rhetorical. You sort of like led with it and then answered and then kept going. No?
It's because you didn't
We're doing
talk.
Well. We're doing well.
You've got to talk. It's a
podcast. How are you going?
Yeah, I'm doing well, mate. How about you?
Good, good.
Oh, we got that out of the way.
Cool. How are you
Excellent.
Going?
What hey, about Josh?
Josh,
about
Josh how are you going?
I'm just here to watch the chaos tonight. Yeah.
Well, strap yourself in. We're in
started early.
We're in a different environment. We have moved. We usually record the show about 2 meters up that way and about maybe 3 meters that way. Somewhere around there, but we're here now because things. And also, this is our last normal episode this year.
Wait. When have we ever had a normal episode?
I was going to say.
Well, our level of normal is very different to what normal is. But okay, for maybe, our level yeah, right, of normal, yeah, okay. This is because we have 2 episodes remaining. Mm-hmm. The next episode we do, we are actually going to be sharing with the boys from Send It Mate podcast. Well, there's some smackdown going from Plushy on that one, which would be good fun. We have a game show planned, which brings me to a point I need to remind everyone about. We have a survey that we need you guys to go and fill out.
Yeah,
so the links will be here. Josh, if in the comments, maybe you could post up the link to the survey. Now I've thrown you under the bus.
No, that's too hard.
Okay, well, somewhere in some posts there are some the survey link. Go there, fill out the survey. You can do it anonymously. It doesn't really matter. So answer whatever you like. They're going to form part of our show next time around in a couple of weeks. That one won't be live. That will be filmed here with the Send It Mate boys and a special guest host. Yep.
There'll be some hardcore editing. No doubt.
Hardcore editing. But that will be a lot of fun, so we look forward to doing that. And then, of course, gentlemen, what's our final episode of the year?
The Yeats. Golden Yeats. Ginger Yeats.
Not the Ginger idea. Yeats, no.
We should do that. Yeah. Special, no, special version of the Golden Yeats.
No one to watch. So we'll do the Golden Yeats instead. And that'll be sometime in December. So there is a lot to talk about for Golden Yeats. Voting will be up, actually not live, but in this episode. So if you are listening to this from Sunday, click on the link in the description for the Golden Yeats.
It's there. It's there in this the comments now.
Not the Golden Yeats one.
Okay.
No. Is it like come on, mate. Keep up. Come on.
But anyway, if you are if you're watching, go and there's 2 things we'd love you to do.
In the
go
comments.
And do the survey and go and do the Golden Yeats voting. So we'd love to have your input on that. And that's the last 2 episodes of the year.
Crazy.
Which means now we have our round count, but we're going to finalize that at the Golden Yeats. That's going to be the first cow off the rank of the Golden Yeats. Okay. But we should get an update. We should get an update. So we won't be doing this in the next episode, but we will do it here. So do you want to – we've got a new sort of set-ish sort of thing. There's a pencil, a pen up there, Andy.
All right.
So going off the numbers from last time, Andy, you were on 2,576.
Yep.
Have you shot since last episode?
I have.
Excellent. Any idea on your round count?
It's going to be a very rough estimation because we went spotlighting. There was plenty of 22 – rimfire shots.
Yep.
And quite a few 2-3 round shot.
Okay.
But how many impacts?
That doesn't matter.
I'm going to go about the 70%.
All right. Well, that's pretty good, actually.
So that match was too hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
To make that match a little bit easier.
A lot of movers in that match.
movers.
Had some practice.
Right. Give us, spit out the number, Annie.
Okay. Is it ones that I shot or because I supplied the ammo?
You shot, you clown. Claiming other people's.
I'm going to say about 200 then.
About 200. Because otherwise I'd start claiming.
Like 10 minutes ago.
I'd start
at 50?
That was 150 of just the 223.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Okay.
There was a lot of 20
so, t-shirt. Andy, you got to put your name up there in lights. You're on 2776. Just wherever you like.
Somewhere up the top.
Somewhere up the top. Plushie, let's jump in. Let's jump into you. You were on.
Wow, I don't get off like that every day.
4805.
Yes. Still on 4805. Okay,
well, we can tick yours off pretty quickly.
Big round count there, big round count.
The closest I got to my gun was measuring the length of pull.
Nice. Yeah. Well, that's better than I did. I was on 601. I am still on 601. Josh, you have some news for us. You were on 4,861. What do you come in at now?
I sent 400 rounds.
Of what?
22.
Can we have like a separate tally?
No, hang
22?
On. No, I've got a counter to this. You know, does it have a primer in it? It's no, a primer, it makes not, it go bang. It has powder. It has a projector. Really
technically, it doesn't
well,
have a
primer. Well, yeah. Josh,
do you know how a 22 works?
Yeah, that's not something to bring up.
Does it have a bullet that goes out of it?
There we go. So
I'm going to buy
in that case. I think
if you said gunpowder, that's you've had some sort of propellant powder. That's probably the way to define this. That's going to swing in your
Nerf
favor.
Nerf gun darts count, right?
That don't have propellant powder.
Well, it's got air in it.
That's not a powder. Well, have you got powdered air going on?
There's dust in the air.
Hang on, don't bring Nerf guns into this. We're well equipped for that.
But what about air rifle?
Josh,
what
do you draw is, Josh, it doesn't count. Air rifles don't count.
I'm going to buy a 22 handgun. And
you
then
can do what you like, mate. Right, but
next
what,
year we're having a separate
before
set of fire and
before
fire
you guys
count.
Go and do all of next this. Year, can you go up and write 5,261 for Josh up there, which pushes Josh, the bloke that presses the buttons, into the lead on the round count. No glory, because he hasn't actually done anything with those rounds, but he certainly sent the most. He's nearly 10xing my round count. Just
accuracy via volume.
Yeah.
Still doesn't help me.
Putting it out there. Very, very good. All right, gents. So we have wrapped up the PRS season. We talked about that last episode a little bit. But it seems like an appropriate time to look back, rather than just the last match that was shot, on the year. Some things that you learned, the big lessons that you took away from this year. Perhaps also, you know, we'll get into a little bit of what the plans are next year for you guys. And also, the other thing we'll throw in a little bit later into the show is you guys watching know that now I have no say in PRS. So let's talk about what we'd change if we could. a little bit later.
Just scrap it. Start again.
Start again. All right. Oh, we got that extreme, are we? All right, cool. The year, how's the year been for you, Plushie? Not as good as Andy's, but, you know, let's go with that.
Well,
from a shooting perspective, he's got the trophy to show it, so.
I've got one of them.
Yeah, from the year before. Yeah, we're not talking about that. It's not relevant.
Right.
What's your biggest takeaway from this year?
Stop living in the past, mate.
Let's talk about next year then. All right, that's done. Next segment. I think I went into this year with reasonably high hopes. I was hoping for top three. Is the goal I'd set myself. I didn't quite get there.
Mm-hmm.
I think coming into the year, I knew what I needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I just ran out of time. My work and non-shooting life got busy. And I knew what I needed to do in the lead up to match. I needed to be – last year I was really good. I was really disciplined. I'd have my match ammo loaded at least 2 weekends before the match. And then I'd spend the last 2 weeks coming into the match – doing dry fire practice, cleaning my gun, packing my bag. That was it. No stress whatsoever coming into the match.
Yep.
Pretty much this year I started my brass prep on the Monday before the match. No dry fire practice, no feeling stressed the entire time because you were, I've got to get this done, I've got to get that done, I've got to get this done. And then the night before you're like, I've seen all your ammo and you're like, oh man, I've got to clean my gun. And it's just nothing went to plan this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big takeaway. That I didn't do the things that I knew were going to make me do well from last year. I changed some equipment this year, which ended up working okay, but it took me a little while to get that equipment working, which is always building a gun and then using it for the first time in a PRS match. Don't recommend.
How do you not use it for the first time in a PRS? Oh, is that the first time you use the gun?
Yes.
There's always going to be a first time you use the gun in a PRS match. That's how it works. That makes more sense now.
This was Tassie, wasn't it?
No.
No?
Meltdown. So I literally did my load dev 2 days before Meltdown. Also, don't recommend doing your load dev 2 days before a match. Not ideal.
Okay.
Do it at the match.
Josh, are you writing these down for your PRS appearance next year?
I am. I figured just rock up with a whole new rifle and just do what Plushy did.
Whatever Plushy does, don't do.
Yeah. That way around.
I put about 50 rounds through it and I was like, that load works. I'm like, I'll take a bit out because it's going to speed up. And let's shoot the match. And never shot it off a barricade coming into the Meltdown.
Yep.
I remember how I think I did. Like, I don't know how I did in the Meltdown. I think I was like, I could have been sixth.
I shall find some data while you keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. I just rolled into that. And then considering I'd never shot the gun, that's not terrible. Mm. Went down to Tassie, had one or two hang fire issues, maybe a lot more than that.
Sorry. Myself.
Is that per stage?
Yeah, that was per stage.
Per stage. Yeah.
That was a really big missed opportunity. Mm. I didn't think there was a hang fire rule at the range because there wasn't the year before, and I was like, it'll be fine. I'll take my new gun down there. And and then on Friday practice, they're like, there's a 30-second hang fire rule. I'm like,
So was that not also seventh. In the match like previously announced though?
No, was not.
Seventh at Minato Meltdown.
Yeah.
By the way. Yep.
Yeah. So Tassie was. I actually shot Tassie really well.
In front of Andy Little. I'll just point that out.
Yeah. Oh, was it? Was
you
it?
Were you were ninth.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh. Slow start.
That would almost be your worst result of the year.
Yes. Which almost. Makes my post at the end of the year incorrect because I said I was top seven. I'd forgotten about that.
Everyone who's watching this, go to Andy's page and comment on it and say, tell him he's wrong.
Can you report it?
Actually,
just report it as false.
Actually, mate, top nine.
Glad we checked.
So I went down to Tassie and I actually shot that match really, really well considering how many shots I didn't take. I think I was only just
a couple of points in front or one or two or something.
Like 1 point maybe.
Yeah.
I didn't. I think we worked out after. I didn't take 23 shots and I think I was about 12 points off the win.
Ooh.
So that was a missed opportunity. What did I do? And then I shot. Oh, no, I ran Mildura, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. You did run Mildura.
And then I stopped thinking about shooting.
Yes.
Completely.
Yes.
And then, hang on, no. Take that back.
That was the other way around.
Other way around, yeah. I did Minato, stopped thinking about shooting, ran Mildura.
Yep.
And then basically just
used loaded.
I thought you were so bitter after running a match. You're just like, nah, I'm out.
Yeah, it was close. I did Tassie and that didn't go so great with no prep. Rolled into Sydney. I'm like, I've done some practice. This is going to go amazing. Like, I actually felt
really
good.
You were feeling confident on the way
out. I was.
There.
I'd had some, I went and shot some club matches.
And then you got there. Well.
Got the new car.
And then I got there and I couldn't see any targets.
Yep.
Because it was like really dark and dingy and couldn't find any targets. So I got pummeled. I think it was like 27th how was
that,
or something.
Just while we're talking about that, compared to the finale, targets of finale, was the finale an improvement on finding targets?
Yeah. So
what about finale was an improvement in that regard? Because I know that was a big piece of feedback, the match in the middle of the year.
Yeah. So, the match in the middle of the year was winter and finale was, you know, late spring, mid-spring, something like that. So
springish.
It was sunnier.
Yep.
So there was more sun on the range, which was really good. There was a little bit more green on the range.
Okay.
I think.
Yep.
Rather than, it was pretty wet. I don't know. Anyway. and then Trent was good enough, or the stage officers were good enough to put some paint on the edges of the targets.
Okay.
And it turns out the yellow paint on the edge of the targets there are much easier to find than white paint, which would be unusual normally.
Interesting.
But the yellow contrasts better against the background.
Right.
So I actually didn't have trouble finding targets at all at the finale. So I was... Oh.
It's good to know that there's a resolution to that.
Yeah.
Don't shoot in winter.
Well, I actually nearly changed reticles in my scope leading into the finale. I'd convinced my run the Tremor, which is pretty busy, but it's got some holdover stuff, which is really good and I like it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a bit cluttered. And I nearly convinced myself that that was the cause of my problems, not being able to see, apart from having bad eyes.
Yep.
And then I didn't, and I went up and I just was like, nah, there's a better way. And I looked at I spent some time looking at the reticle. I'm like, okay, the horizontal stadia on the Tremor is quite thick and you got the vertical above and it's actually quite busy right around the center floating dots. The center floating dot's fine. So if there's no wind, you can see the target.
Mm.
Then you want to put some wind on and then it just hides behind a nice thick black line.
Yep.
I was like, well, I hold pretty 80% of my matches. I shoot holdover. I don't dial a lot. And I always sort of said, you can't really get more than a tenth or two of accuracy out of holdovers. I'm like, no, that is not right. So I went back and spent some time in the reticle when practiced. You can hold a half a tenth in the reticle if you know it well enough. And that's what I did. And yep. I held over pretty much the whole match, which made a huge difference.
Okay.
I was able to see the targets pretty yep. well.
So rolling back, sorry to interrupt you, but yeah. from Sydney onwards, you said Sydney, you were well planned for it, but it didn't sort of eventuate.
Didn't go well. And then I think I questioned my ability to shoot PRS after that match. I was like, maybe you're just shit now. I was like, maybe everyone's just got better and you can't do this anymore and your eyes are getting older and all yep. of this stuff and yep. like, maybe you can't. And I went into, I think it was Little River next.
I think so.
Don't look at me.
I don't know.
Josh, was Little River next?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Steel Apocalypse was next.
Yeah, and then I started, then I shot at Little River and I was like, the first stage went pretty good and the second stage went pretty good and the third stage went pretty good. I'm like, ooh. Nope, you can still remember how to shoot.
Okay, good.
And I think that was close. Did you come third and I came fourth or something? Or
Andy came second and you came seventh.
Seventh? I thought I got a fourth of that
so
one.
So real close.
You did not.
Real close.
Super duper close.
You were 5 points apart.
5 points apart. Oh, wow. There goes that story. Anyway, I thought I'd shot all right.
Obviously.
Cool story, bro.
You know, your eyesight's getting worse. You also memory's failing as well.
I'm getting old. And then I can't remember what we did after that. Was it Canberra? No one went to Darwin.
Darwin.
Yeah, no one went to Darwin.
It was Darwin and then Canberra.
Yeah, so nobody went to Darwin. So
Canberra. Pretty much. No one important went to Darwin, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Josh went. So Josh went.
So I didn't go to Darwin.
He died.
We did Canberra, and I didn't do fantastically at Canberra, but I didn't do terribly.
Mm.
Do you remember where you finished?
It's only because our hotel was
on 14.
Correct.
Yeah,
our hotel was on fire. There was an evacuation. Anyway, sorry, talking about why Josh nearly died.
85%.
85%.
Okay.
Turns out the match was too hard.
Okay.
And then finale. And then finale. Yeah, I think I went away, and I was like, What are you trying to achieve? I sort of sat down and had a good talking to myself.
Good. Sit yourself down. Like,
put yourself in the naughty corner.
You spend an incredible amount of time and money away from your family.
Yeah.
Like, what are you trying to achieve? Are you here to make up the numbers or are you actually here to compete?
Mm.
So I was like, right, what am I doing? And then we went up to Josh came up and some other guys came up to my place and we had a bit of a shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, on the Saturday in the lead up to the finale, I was like, why are you even here? I was like, you come up with all these best intentions and I was like, no motivation, wasn't shooting particularly well. And those guys, you guys left pretty early on Sunday morning, I think.
This is the
we
before
did,
the finale?
Early.
Before finale,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, you can fix this. So I sort of had a bit of a shoot. I was like, right, what are you doing wrong? I'm like, right, lazy habits. What lazy habits? What bad fundamentals? And I spent the rest of the next 4 hours correcting all of the bad habits I got in over the year. And then by the time I'd left, I set myself the challenge. I've got a 75 mil target at 450 meters. And I was like, I had five shots left. And I'm like, off of five different barricades, you're going to walk up, you're going to put your gun down, and you're going to hit it five times out of five, which is actually a really dangerous thing to do for your confidence because if you miss, not so great. And I was like, well, just don't miss. It's easy. And
75 mil.
75 mil at 450, and I nailed that thing five times out of five off of some pretty funky barricades.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, no. I'm doing all right.
Okay.
Well done.
And came into finale with, I don't know, not like heaps of confidence, but it was like if I shoot like I did, you know, a week ago, then, yeah, anything is possible.
You were comfortable.
Was it just that enough of a confidence booster going in?
It was just correcting some bad habits was the main thing was actually I developed some being lazy and just doing a few things and I was like, right, you can fix that. And it worked.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, that's good. Because you did quite well at the finale.
Did better than you.
But, you know, over the series, how'd you go, Andy?
Not bad at all.
So what about a series where you ended up third, which is better than plus you did?
Hey, you wouldn't believe where I finished in the series, though.
Where?
Sixth.
Seems
I'm taking Andy's mantle.
Switching place.
Yeah.
Andy, where, the 2023 series for you.
Yep.
Take us through it.
So I shot six of the, I think, nine matches all up.
Sure it wasn't nine? Not telling fibs?
Well, I don't know. I'd probably need some fact checking along the way. So I started at Meltdown. I still had my 6 Creed barrel from last year.
That's the match you finished ninth, right?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, just
yes, that one. Yep. I can't remember what I
was
really.
Was that the one with the exploding projectiles?
No, that was last year.
No, that was last year. That preempted the, well, that, yeah, brought on the new barrel. I can't remember. It's so long ago. But yeah. I think it was 6.5, and then I had a proof barrel with exploding bullets after like 3,000 rounds.
You're telling me like it's a feature, like you can option that when you...
I know somebody else that optioned that at finale. That wasn't fun for him.
Well, sometimes you get the hit. So.
Sometimes you get all of the hits at the same time.
I've done the stage in one shot. I hit all the targets you wanted me to. Perfect.
No, I think the year for myself, after the first two or three matches, I sort of... like similar to you, looked at it and went, yeah, I spend a lot of time and money doing this, traveling and things, and, you know, I should probably make it, well, put in some more effort, make it worthwhile while still going and having fun and not putting too much pressure on myself and, you know, just enjoy it for what it is, but also take it seriously and don't just screw around. And probably the biggest difference I found was most of the matches I was going to in previous years and in the first half of this year, I would be either camping or taking the camper trailer, not getting the best sleep, not, you know, really prepping up for the match properly, like loading the night before, packing, being rushed, you know, packing
all
the camper
things
trailer.
That Bushy did this year. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think later on in the second half of the year where I think we drove, well, you drove to the matches, and then we got some decent accommodation. We got good, like, decent sleep. We were prepped up the week beforehand.
Glad you did.
You know, you just sort of get yourself in the right headspace and the right mental space to actually perform at your at your best, and it sort of paid off. Yeah, so there you go.
It's really interesting that you say that sleeping at the range isn't good for you. I found the opposite.
Oh, right.
I really enjoy it, and I didn't do
so, it. So what you're saying is when Andy sleeps at the range, it's better for you. Is that what you're saying, Plushy?
Maybe, yeah.
So, Andy, if you could change that next year.
I mean, I wasn't cold last year, but this year I was very cold.
Interesting take. So you think staying on the range has actually helped previously?
Often go to the range, you take the camper trailer and it's got a good bed and all that sort of stuff and what you need. And
that's what I'm missing.
But I enjoy the – I actually enjoy the – you can get up at 6:30 or something like that, go have a shower, come back, make a coffee, have some breakfast, all that stuff. And everything you need is just there, and you don't feel rushed. But then sometimes you get accommodation and it's 45 minutes from the range. And then you're like trying to get Andy out of bed and like Josh sometimes and, you know, trying to get these guys organized.
What do you mean? I'm such a morning person.
No, not a morning person.
Yeah, you have been this week, Josh, but that's about it.
And yeah, and I actually find that when you're at the range, I've only got me to worry about.
Yeah.
And it's fine. And then when you're with other people, you're kind of at the mercy of a whole bunch of people that you're waiting to get into the car and all that sort of stuff. And you want to go to eat and you've got to have like a 15-minute discussion about where you're going to eat and all that sort of stuff. But when you're just like at the range with your camper, it's I'm just going to do this.
How bad were we in Tassie to deal with for Plushy? Sorry, Plushy.
I didn't think we were that bad.
I thought we just went go-karting.
Yeah.
You didn't go go-karting. I did one of them.
Yeah, correct. The first time. And then we went go-karting the better time anyway.
That's right.
Well, I actually really enjoyed it when you drive to the matches because I get to sleep in the back. I just get to have a sleep.
Except when I forget to put the headrest in the back of the car.
Yeah, that was comfy.
So I'm going to throw this a different way. Josh, you are planning to shoot PRS next year.
I am.
That's on the cards. You went to every single match this year, probably possibly the only person who did.
I worked out I've been to every single match since 2021 Monado.
There you go.
I think you'd be better at shooting.
Well, you are.
So you're definitely.
You fade everybody, yeah?
You definitely have been to a lot of matches. What are you planning? What have you taken from these last couple of years of watching and seeing? Because not only have you been at the match and filming and doing the photos and the media side of things, but I know that you've regularly stayed with shooters and sort of been part of that whole, you know, the prepping. And what these boys are talking about is staying, I don't know if you've stayed on the range, but staying, you know, getting ready in the morning and all this sort of prep work and such. What have you learned to then take into next year?
I think my biggest one, well, for me personally, rocking up for the first match is not putting the pressure on myself and not rocking up going, you know, I've done a heap of club stuff. I've done all these bits and pieces. I'm now going to try and finish in the top 40% or whatever it is. Just rock up, focus on my personal hit rate over the weekend and like nothing else matters.
Yeah. Mind you, if you can finish in a top 10 of our club match, there's a pretty good chance you can finish top 10 in the series.
Now the pressure's building, yeah. Hey?
Is this that, is true. And this is the stuff I'm trying to ignore. Because
I see what you
Yeah.
But no, that's fair because we did have a new shooter come along and shoot his first match, and he roomed with you at one of the matches.
Yeah.
And I think he was initially going in thinking, oh, I'm going to, you know, sort of be towards the pointy end or top half or whatever it is. And there was a lot of advice going his way saying, just go and enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just chill out about any result and just focus on hitting the next target.
Yeah. Just, yeah, focus on that personal hit rate, and that's that's all you want to do.
Said person's hit rate was very good, personal hit rate.
It was.
It was.
Yep.
Yeah, I think after a bit of time realizing that 14 people were telling him the same piece of advice, all very experienced people, he perhaps went, I shall focus on my next shot and get my personal hit rate up. And to his credit, did extremely well for that. Didn't necessarily do so well in the match, but that's the point.
Nobody does in their first match.
No.
Yes, and a last-minute match at that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He took your spot, didn't he?
He did take my spot, yeah.
With about 2 days' notice before we left.
Yeah, I think that mental game of just relaxing and take each stage one at a time and just sort of have fun and don't put the pressure on yourself. I've definitely had first-hand experience of that where, like last few stages of a day, if I'm just going, you know, it is what it is. Have fun. I'll shoot those stages well. Mm. Finale. I was worried about how plushy was going.
I was just about to mention that. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, and I was, and those last few stages, even though I was like first shooter and then last shooter and I just felt like I was rushed, I was also thinking I better get like a good
As soon as that gets in your head, you're done.
Yeah.
Stop listening to the ginger is my advice.
So, yeah, no, it's definitely, very much a mental game.
All right. So I've just occurred. There's a mini Simon Plush getting around like a little doll. I'm going to bring him for you for the next match. He can be your mascot.
Staple attach him to his range bag.
Cool.
I've got several.
Several.
Yeah.
Good.
That's
good.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Is this left over from Halloween or is it?
No, it's an actual.
No, there is an actual plush toy called Simon, who's a ginger.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Go find it. Google it, guys. If you want to.
If you can get them, post them to me because I don't think they make them anymore.
Oh, you can still get them.
He used to be one of the Wiggles.
Mm, yes. That's true. Go Google Wiggle plush toy and find Simon, the Wiggle plush toy.
Side story. I've got a good friend of mine had taken.
You've got friends?
I've got friends, yeah. Good ones. This is what my good friends do.
Okay.
Took a small Simon plush doll.
One of your friends just.
I've got photos of him in front of the Eiffel. In front of the Eiffel Tower and in front of like the pyramids in Egypt. He's been all over the world. He's travelled more than I have.
That's good.
Yes. All right. Very good. Now, Josh, anything? I guess we're leading into next year. What are you, Andy, doing differently next year? Is there anything you?
I thought you were
planning on change. I was, I was like, hey, what are you doing differently next year, Josh? Oh, wait, shooting. That was a good start. Yeah.
I just spent 5 minutes talking about that.
I'm actually looking forward to that though. Over filming,
yeah,
I'm gonna have like heaps more time free.
It's
gonna be great.
Yeah,
you thought we were nice to you this year.
Yeah,
no, you weren't.
we could actually break the heckling on the clock rule next. The heckling on the clock rule next year.
Okay,
Josh. Yeah,
what's that?
Because it's Josh. Well, we don't heckle on the clock in PRS.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's not happened yet, but I feel like you could be like that person that changes the way it's
done. Yeah. I reckon
it'll come back though, a
big camera right in front of his face while he's shooting.
That's fine. I was respectful this year with how close I put cameras to people's faces.
You were actually. Yeah.
That's right.
That might change next year. Even if I am shooting, I'll still find a camera.
So, Andy, the question was to you.
Yes.
Next year.
Next year.
What changes for you? What do you do differently or better or more of the same?
I think a lot of it will be the same. I'm working on a couple
fancier hotels. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
More good, comfy beds?
Good pre-match prep and comfy beds and getting Plushy to drive me around so I can sleep. That's probably the way to go.
What if I bring a caravan? You can sleep in the caravan the whole way?
Probably would.
Oh, can I sign up for that?
See that going well. Okay.
Yeah, I think making the trips worth it. Like when I do enjoy camping, but you know, it is sometimes during winter it gets pretty cold and uncomfortable.
Does your camper not have a heater in it?
No.
Oh wow.
Well, I don't even have a camper. So.
Yeah. So I think, you know, when you do spend, you know, if up to like a few grand to travel for a match.
On a camper heater, yeah.
Yeah. You know,
it's worth every dollar.
A few hundred extra bucks for some decent accommodation. Yep. Like it doesn't.
We actually did the maths, and with the price of fuel, it's actually not that different to tow a camper all the way to the range and stay there with free accommodation that it is to take an economical car and stay in a hotel. It's not that.
So you go into the hotel.
We did that this year.
Mix.
Other than that, I think, just early match prep, get all my stuff sorted. I'm working on a couple of caliber changes. Okay. So I've been running the 6 Creed pretty slow.
I know you've already bought some projectiles for a cartridge you haven't even got anything
Are
for.
Are you the one that bought those projectiles?
Well, yeah, maybe. Hey,
Dobbed you in.
Right. Do you want them? I've got a really good price.
Right. I was going to talk to Rusty about it. But okay.
It's all right. There's more coming.
They got my name on them?
I mean, they're red, so I'm sure.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Happy days. Sorry, anyway. Timmy.
I'm going to put an order in. so I got a few things worked up.
Sounds not like it.
Really, I've got 2 blank barrels. Nothing's really worked up. But I'm thinking of a BRA in 6mm and a 25 Creed. And then I'm getting my 223 rechambered to a 223 AI.
Yep. Okay. Plushy, what about your plans that are exactly the same as Andy's?
Yeah, right. Just well, you said it first doesn't mean it's your idea.
That he's pinched.
I never said it was my idea. It's the fact that I've spent so long in a car with you, probably like 12-hour drives, and you ramping on about 25 Creed.
Actually, I must say that you've pretty much bought all of the things that I've recommended on our various car trips.
Yeah.
Except the car.
We haven't talked about that yet. Well, I'm basically just copying what Andy's doing. It works better than what I'm doing.
What's the specific dies, a trimmer, cartridge, what else?
Yeah. My 25 Creed will be ready next week.
Mine's in the works.
You've thought of it.
So I'll have the barrel without any projectiles, and you're going to have the projectiles. We should talk.
On that next 12-hour drive you boys do.
So I'm going to have the GT again next year, and a 25 Creed is my long-range / Little River type rifle when it's switchy windy. What else am I going to change next year or do next year?
6 GT, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Going the 22 GT? I heard a lot of people are necking down to 22 cal.
I don't want to change my barrel every 3 matches.
That's fair enough.
So one of the big takeaways from this year was I talked earlier about the brass prep in the lead up to a match was it stresses me out. It just takes up all my time in the lead up. So I'm actually going to buy, I don't know yet, 1,500 or 2,000 bits of brass in 6 GT.
Yeah, right.
And basically,
he's got to sell his heater for his camper to do that. But
that's right.
May as well.
He's just going to be running once fired brass, like factory brass, every match.
Brand new brass for the entire match.
The theory is that I can run the first half of the season with virgin brass.
Yep.
And then I'll spend a weekend turning over all my brass. Yep. And then I'll run the second half of the season with once fired brass and so on. But what it means is normally it takes me 3 to 4 nights from the start of brass prep to having loaded rounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I've got prep brass that I only have to prime, throw powder and seat, I can do that one night.
Yep. Yep.
And then all the pressure is gone.
So, Josh, if you get an invite up to Plushy's house mid-year to come and learn about reload, don't take it. Don't take it. Because all you're doing is brass prep. 2,000 pieces of brass. Just put that warning out to everyone.
No, I'm going to rock up just with 3,000 rounds of 22. And while he's doing that, I'm just going to be out there sending rounds.
So you're doing that for your GT. Yep. Are you going to do the same for your 25 Creed?
I don't think to that extent because I don't think that'll be in every match car. Mm. So I think if I can get, I'll probably get 600 bits of brass for that.
Mm.
Well, I've already got 600 bits if I want to fire for my 6 lap. But I'm thinking about getting rid of that and just getting 25 GT brass and just being done with it.
25 GT brass?
Yes, you can buy that.
Mm. I've got a new thing. I'm going to change to GT.
Okay.
And then I know someone who's got a lot of brass.
Once fired brass at the end of the season.
Yeah.
I think I'll just, if I can get two.
I wouldn't change now, Andy. I'd change in 2025 when he's got a whole stack of once fired brass.
I'm going to change to a different cartridge at that point
and he'll be looking to offload a bunch of brass.
Yeah, so in other news, I'm running 6 GT for the next 10 years. Get the life out of the brass. But
yeah.
Yeah. So we've got, I've got a Dasher Reamer, a GT Reamer, and a Creedmoor Reamer, and I haven't run the Dasher yet, but that's maybe in the works. Okay. I don't know whether I'll have time to do it next year, but there's mm-hmm. maybe a Dasher in the works as well.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. So everyone go out and buy brass before Plushy does.
That's right. Yeah.
But that's my plan, is to de-stress and get better organised coming into the matches, so I can spend more time doing the things that I know. I know the mental prep is very important.
Yeah.
And having the time so you come in feeling... I'm one of those guys that I need trigger time and lots of it. So dry firing every night in the lead up to a match is huge for me. So yep. if I can get back to doing that, I know I'll go well next year.
Nice. Mm. Very good. So big question, gents. None of us are in charge of making decisions for PRS next year. So if we were going to change anything, what would you change if you had the ability to?
Mandated heckling on the clock. Just across the board for everyone.
That's okay. Good.
That's yeah. number one. Tick. Actually,
the option to call out no impact actually, when other people are.
I've actually got a list, but I don't know that that's for public yet.
Okay.
I've got a legit list of things from the season that observed being, you know, like with that match director focus on it. Sometimes mm-hmm. they're like, we could do this better.
Yeah. I guess the question is, let's experiment for a little bit. Like, mm-hmm. let's just play. If we were in charge of something, what would you change about it? And not necessarily down to like the individual match level. Like, oh, I'd be a bit more focused on this, or but in overall, what would you do with production class?
Production class, I would probably align closely with the states, where in Australia it's been a little bit like, you're too good, you can't be in here anymore. In the past, probably potentially even open that. But you had a really good idea before, which I should steal. No, like a tack.
I've stolen your cartridges, so.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, hang on. What are you going to do to your 223 next year?
AI?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I have one of those.
A lot of people have AIs, mate. Like, you didn't invent the thing. Jeez. This guy.
What was the question? What was the question?
I don't remember.
I can't remember what the question was.
You're talking about an idea that Andy had that you're going
to
steal.
Oh, yeah, tack class. Like, you can straight up, a good shooter can go into 308 or 223 or whatever the class is. Mm-hmm. That'd be cool.
Mm. Well, the AI won't count for that, though, will it?
Well, if it's not in 308 or 223, no, it wouldn't.
Mm. Well, it's still 223. It's just got this weird couple of letters after
it. Oh, you mean like not an accuracy international? You mean like an actually improved?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I did not get that.
And this guy thought I stole his colours.
Yeah, I think the show previous to this year, when plus you wasn't a part of it, was so that's an improvement we should make for PRS next.
Fine, just shoot cup matches.
Okay. Good. No.
Good.
At least shoot that better.
No. Now, you talked about, 2-3 and a 308 class, certainly is a US variant.
Yeah, I just thought to try and bring people into the sport who don't have the option of forking out $8,000 to $10,000 on a custom sort of build, mm-hmm. that can start off in a 223, 308 mil spec sort of class, no matter what caliber of shooting or shooter they are, or experience, they can opt to disadvantage themselves and shoot 223, 308 and do so throughout the year. And whether certain number of spots for each match need to be allocated for that, just so that it does keep a healthy competition and you don't just get one or two people rocking up per match. But, yeah, I guess that's something you sort of just got to promote and force, get out there so people are aware of it.
Yep, interesting. I think, there's some stuff that we made some huge leaps in targetry this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
The way that... the sheer number of targets, mm-hmm. the way the targets were deployed to give feedback to the shooter. So no longer was it just hit or miss. You couldn't really tell where on the plate you hit. That was you could read the majority of the plates this year to get feedback to make a correction on another smaller target.
Yep.
That was brilliant. We should keep doing that.
That's like just to delve into that, it's look like a combination of using a larger target, maybe if your first impact and a smaller for your second or closer or...
Yes, but a combination of that. And as you know, like the earlier matches, like star picket with a QD target on it was more than acceptable. Yep. No longer is that acceptable. The people want more. Mm-hmm. They want straps or whatever it is so they can see whereabouts, they can get better feedback off the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Which means it takes like four times as long to set up a target. Thank you, everybody.
It takes five times as much when you run them over.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we haven't talked about that a bit,
have we? No, not for a while. So the target, we made a huge leap in targets this year.
Yep.
And I think we made some progress on barricades operating as they were designed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if it's designed to be solid, it was solid pretty much for the whole year. And if it was, I don't think we had any real design to be wobbly targets this year. We dropped the offhand shooting, not by design. It's just what happened.
Mm-hmm.
That was also good. But I think there's an opportunity next year to. We've kind of got the targetry down pat now,
mm-hmm.
and we can really focus on the barricades.
Okay.
And make some leaps, like, because a lot of our clubs they don't have full access to the range, like in the States where it's a dedicated PRS range or something like that.
Yep.
But we can do more in that space, I think.
Yep.
There's opportunity.
So do you mean more stable barricades, or do you mean
like bigger and bolder and like, you okay. know, is there levels that you can go up and shoot off of levels and come down and stuff like that and
yep.
get that? It's not really the elevation, but it's the movement and the, you know, repositioning and stuff like that.
Yep.
I think there's opportunity there, just some stuff like that.
Sounds like bigger and heavier stuff to move and prep for a match.
Yeah, I think something else that there was a yep. lot of discussion this year about targets being maybe on the too small side sometimes,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
everybody's got better, their equipment's got better, and we're making impacts on very small targets.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some of that creative stage design that needs to happen from the match directors, where if you want to use like tripod rear, everyone uses tripod rear.
Yep.
So you can sort of engineer your stage so you could use tripod rear, but you're not going to get your shots off.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily disadvantage the up-and-coming shooter that says, I'm going to take five really good shots with tripod rear. I'm going to see where they'll go, and I'm going to make good corrections. You don't want to disadvantage that guy where they can't use their tripod rear because that's how you grow and get better. But the top guys are getting better and better and better. And then now they can get all their shots off with tripod rear and have 10 seconds left.
Yep.
So you need to be creative with your stage design, I think, to actually stop that from happening. So those guys just physically can't move it in all of the locations they have to, but not to say that you couldn't move it five times.
Yep.
Yep.
So that's because unfortunately, it's just realistic that the gap in the field is getting wider. The good guys are getting better because there's so much competition at the top and everyone's trying to get better.
Mm-hmm.
The new guys coming in, they're still the new guys coming in. Although they're probably, if they've shot some club matches, they'll be a little bit better.
Mm.
Whereas not a lot of people shoot a PRS match for their first time now, but still people do.
Yeah, not these days, not as so many. Much.
Well, previously, that's all you could do. If you wanted to shoot PRS, you shot a PRS match.
Yeah.
But I think the divide is getting wider, which means you have to be more creative with your stage design.
When you say the divide is getting wider, you meaning at a match or the sport overall?
Skill set?
The skill set of people that are attending matches.
Attending PRS level matches?
Yeah. I think so. Now you've got... the guys that have been around for a while, feeding the up and coming guys all the information that they've learned over 4, 5, 6 years in their first season of shooting, and those guys are accelerating like amazingly quick and getting better, which are driving the original guys to work harder, and everybody's pushing each other to work harder and get better.
So would that
would make it a closer?
Yeah, would that be opposite? No,
but
to what
not all of the new people are taking on that information and using it to that level.
Yeah,
you've got to work very hard at that.
I would suggest actually that I disagree a little bit. I don't think the gap's getting wider, because I remember the earlier days where the gap was, you had people who were like 70, 80, 90% targets and people were not hitting for a weekend. And, you know, might be into the single digits to hit for a weekend. And because we have a growing but healthier club, well, we have a club scene. Let's say we have a club scene that is growing. You don't generally get to a PRS match without having had some sort of foundation. So the match is able to get harder and push the guys at the top. But you got much, and rather than three or four guys at the top vying for a position, there's 20 every match where you're like, who on earth is going to end up top three?
Yep.
And so I think you've got a much tighter competition. You might have, you know, a few guys who've come along for a great weekend away and, you know, they hit a handful of targets, but they're accepting of that because they sort of knew the jump.
But I think the thing that we're doing better now is, in the earlier days, there wasn't too many generous targets to give easy points to the newer people. And
or there was too many.
Yeah, okay, correct.
Yeah. And it depends on how far back we're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, because certainly early days, there was a lot of stages where just, you know, huge amounts of people would just clean everything. Yeah.
So yeah. I think that there's a better design and a better spread where the newer people are getting closer to that 50%.
Yep. Because
that's what we're trying to do, is give them a good experience.
Yep.
And make it somewhat achievable, and not having going home getting 10 impacts out of 160 and never come back, because who wants to do that? You just spent $1,500 or $2,000 to come to a match. You don't want to pay 100 points in impact. 100 points, $100 in impact, that sucks. So I think we've got a
speaking of which, last year's finale, would you have paid an extra $100 per impact?
I would have paid $1,000.
Just clarifying. Anyway, sorry. Carry on.
So I think we've got better at enabling those newer people to get more hits. But I think that gap between those newer people and the top guys is as wide as it's ever been.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's people are closing that gap much quicker as well.
I think that's perhaps the way I'm looking at it.
Quite a steep learning curve.
Your first one might be a real challenge, but we're seeing people, rather than slowly work their way, people are rapidly getting into a position that is competitive given their various peers.
I reckon in 2016/17, there would have been 5 or 10 guys that could have shared the experience of, like, this is how you shoot and you know, all these sorts of things, and they know what they're doing.
Yep.
Now there's probably 50
The
guys that you could
easily.
They might not necessarily be a top performer, but they know the fundamentals and they know what you need to do, and they could teach somebody what to do.
Yep.
So that you've got that pool of people that are able to share.
Nationally wide, there's more.
You may be right, yeah.
Yeah, none on this show though.
Oh, Josh is here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What are we doing wrong?
Chat bolt, pull trigger.
Right, Randy, what about you? Anything suggest that you would change in PRS in the future? If you had the option, it doesn't have to be realistic, doesn't have to actually be well thought through. But
does any well think anything through?
He finished third this season, just so you know.
Yeah.
Calm down, number six.
I think the things that I'd like to see are more like restricted to the ranges and the environments and the rules we've got to play around. Not so much the PRS organisation, but more like, you know, further distances, moving targets, which are just
Every range
cool.
needs one of those, by the way. Every single range needs one of those.
And just, you know, the ability to pan across. What is it, 1-800-MOVER or something?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, there we go. Speaking of sponsorship.
Yes.
We've got a bit of a different sponsor tonight, don't we, Josh?
We do.
We do.
You keep asking Josh like he knows, and he keeps falling short every single time.
No.
It's been a long week.
I'm giving you has it been a long week, Josh?
Oh, I know now. I know.
Because that may link into what we are talking about here. Why has it been a long week, Josh?
We've been doing a lot of behind the scenes prepping this week.
We have.
Mm.
For what?
Captivating attention.
That's right.
Oh, nice.
So for those who don't know, Captivating Attention is what does all the media elements that you see through this show, through PRS, through a bunch of other things. And tonight, that all went properly public.
I should put a link in the comments.
There's an idea. Yeah, do the thing. But that's a company that Josh and I are a part of, Captivating Attention, that does media, social media management and content creation, all these sort of things. And it went properly live tonight. We've probably got to fix the website tomorrow again. But anyway.
Has Josh finally asked to be paid?
No, let's not. Well, it depends. It depends on the people watching. If they know someone.
If you guys like Josh and you want to be paid, you need to use Captivating Attention. Yeah,
can you guys manage my
some money?
You can manage my account. $2 a day?
I'm going to need something to fund my shooting next
year. Yeah, but we're going to post once a year.
Yeah, please, donate. Can you start a GoFundMe for Josh shooting next year?
Going to need it.
So over however many years, effectively Captivating Attention has been producing this and much better things as well. Mm. And
name three.
The Beretta Defense videos, all the PRS stuff. And what else?
Scoped Out does cool stuff.
There you go.
When?
Huh? When you're not around, mate. When you're not around.
When they're displaying Carlos stuff.
Is that the scratch and dent sale or?
Ooh. All right. So anyway.
Where did your thermal come from again?
Hick Micro, the sponsor of PRS. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it may have come out of scoped out stock. I'm not sure about that.
It did not. Anyway, right. I'm not sure quite where the connection was made there. But speaking of Hick Micro, Captivating Attention has done work for Hick Micro. So good little connection there. There we go. So,
but not good because Josh didn't know where it came from.
Roger, well, he failed.
I don't handle sponsorship stuff.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I can see why.
I just do the media.
So speaking of media, Captivating Attention is what we actually do from day to day with that sort of gear. And so it went public. So we thought we'd do a shout out tonight on the show because it literally happened tonight. And so if you run a business or anything along those lines, you want to talk social media and how to get in front of more people and captivate people's attention. Don't talk to these guys. If you want to shoot better, talk to these guys. If you want to shoot better and also run better media, talk to all of us. Anyway, the Captivating Attention details are in the comments and the show notes and that sort of stuff. And let's go down this next chapter.
Yeah,
it's good. Speaking of next chapters, so production's is a category that certainly, or there's division that actually needs some attention. And you talked before about it sort of aligning to the US as becoming more of a, like anyone can shoot it with limited gear. Mm-hmm. The idea always has been with production to be an entry level option so that people can come in and not necessarily have to spend the big money to compete against each other. Mm-hmm. And that's been sort of the driving force of limiting it. There has been certainly options to be able to open it up and allow just a bit of a free for all.
Yep.
And perhaps with the club scene building so much in Australia, the need for a real entry level into that national series is reduced. I think if it's not, if that's a division that needs more people in it and a good entry level in it, the price cap on it should be cut in half or down to a third or something, really bringing that to a proper entry level step in. Because at the moment it was a couple of years ago matching the US dollars wise, and it was you could enter and you had the decision, do I spend another $500 and get the scope I want and be thrown into open, or same with the, you know, whereas if it was a really limited dollars wise, perhaps it would attract the guys who were trying it out. But there's certainly, there is, and I've talked with many people about the idea of whether it be a 308, 223, or some form of limited, or production becomes that one where you limit the gear, but not the shooter, and the shooter can go and do it however they wish. And so, there's certainly, we've shown in the last 2 years that the division needs to change because it's not getting the attendance. Mm. But which way it goes, I'm excited to see which way, Lucas and Trent take it. Because I don't think there's a wrong answer. There's just multiple options that you could push towards.
I'd like to see a 308 category that is limited to 308 only. Mm-hmm. And you can do whatever you want.
Okay. Yeah. Like run a 6mm GT?
If you run it down a 308 barrel shot.
Okay.
No problems with that.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really interesting. See, some people try to go light and fast. Some people go slow and heavy. And there'd be a whole lot of...
I'm a slow and heavy kind of guy. Yeah.
Yep. Got that.
So, no.
Not so heavy as last week.
Thanks for noticing, Plushie. Oh, I'm getting noticed. Thanks, man.
Yeah, that got way too touchy feely.
That's why we're on opposite sides of the desk.
I feel sorry for Andy.
Oh, I love it.
Look at him. There's a reason he finished third.
There it is.
He shot well. I
reckon that'd be really actually quite interesting. Is you run a caliber. It could be 15 kilos. It could be 8 kilos. Doesn't matter. It could be $10,000. It could be $4,000. Does not matter.
Yep.
You're limited to the caliber.
Yep.
And to see where people go with it. Mm. It'd be really interesting to see what happens.
Roll it back to 2016. Everyone runs 300 Win Mag.
No, that's a separate category that I was going to bring up.
Separately.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
300 Win Mag. Yes.
300 Win Mag.
There's a bit of chatter about that.
Yeah.
Is a 300 Win Mag.
There's been chatter about like rocking up to a certain match. Everyone knows to bring the 300 Win Mag. They've been threatening to do that for years. I look forward to it.
And what have
maybe next year's the year.
Maybe next year's the year.
Yeah.
I'll go buy a 300 Win Mag for that.
You'd need like, 5 to 8 round stages? You wouldn't want to be punching 10 or 12 rounds down.
Nah, make them all 15 rounds. 90 seconds.
It wouldn't matter because the targets wouldn't last.
I thought you said we solved the target tree this year.
Well, we didn't. 300 Win Mag solved the target tree.
Oh, very good. Very good, gents. Well, Any other big changes, or are we leaving it to the minds that actually have to decide these things?
Yeah, they can make the decision.
Yep.
Ooh, what about World Championships next year?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah? You keen? You're putting your hand up?
Yeah, I'll be keen.
Yeah.
Either that or the US finale, depending on whatever works, happens.
Unfortunately, they don't work at the same time. You have to make two separate trips.
Yes.
Or you just stay there for 3 months, whatever.
One or the other. Yeah.
Okay, so putting the hand up, you're gonna work your way to get over the States.
That's my goal next year, is to go. I think there's a lot of people with that goal next year. It's kind of in Mecca. If you look at, you know, World Championships being in America, it's you know, might not happen for 10 or 15 years. So there's a lot of people that have indicated really keen. They're keen to go. I think Australia might actually send a strong team.
Yep,
a very strong team actually. Mm. Watch out, everybody else.
Yeah, watch this space. 25 crude.
Well, if I was to go, I'd take two barrels. I'd take my 25 Creed, take 6 GT, and make a decision.
Make a decision when you're over there. Yeah, okay.
Well, from what we heard,
Patrick.
Yep.
From Patrick, like a 700 meter target is their mid range sort of target.
Correct. Mm. He's got a 22 Dasher and a 25-47.
Yep. Okay.
So actually, he had a 6.5 Creed. No, 6.5-47 this year, and he was swapping to 25-47. Yep. We spent a bit of time talking about that.
So if 700 metres is a mid-range target, then
700 yards, mate. It's like 350 metres.
Well, you're not doing any counting for me.
No.
That's a Josh's round count is in yards.
Still, you're just bitter. He's beating you, mate. Just bitter.
But the 25 cal sort of makes sense over there, I think.
I think it makes sense over here.
Yeah. Do you reckon you'll just end up running it all year? Once you start shooting it at a couple of matches, you'll be like, actually, I'm just going to stick with this.
Consider the possibility.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that it may happen.
Yep. Okay. Fair enough. Just make it a 13-kilo rifle or 15-kilo. What are you at now?
That's a personal question.
11 and a half without a magazine.
Jeez. I'm at like 9. And I'm like.
I actually think next year it'll be heavier.
Okay.
Well, if we do away with it. If we're not going to have these unsteady barricades and like offhand shooting, why can't it be?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if we go away with basic shooting recoil fundamentals, like make it as heavy as you want.
All right. Cool.
Or I can just tell you we're on a 200 meter target. I hit it like one or the other.
Well, on that note, we might wrap it up because we've got two episodes left for this year. Stay tuned, everyone, for the episode with the Centre Mate Boys as we challenge them in the game show format to see who are the victors, the competition shooters, or the whatever they do.
Yeah. Make sure you answer those questions.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jump into the survey and go and put your thoughts. It's amusing. It's amusing.
Well, after tonight, they're going to have two more listeners.
Yeah.
Cool.
Got four now.
All right. That's exactly right. Let's. We look forward to challenging them, and then of course get your votes in for the Golden Yeats, which are coming up in next month, December. Oh, wow! And then that's the end of the year, and then it'll be back to PRS season. See you guys. Catch you next time.
Bye.